Well, thank you for tuning in to Fear the Boot. This is bonus episode. Insert random number here.
It's either 19 or 20.
Is it?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't. We don't keep track. They're two big spaces in between.
Yep. Well, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on this week, and Fear the Boot decided to take a somewhat of a little bit of a vacation. So we're just going to hang out and do a bonus episode this week. So we got on the mics with us today is I, myself, Chad, who is not Dan. And we have the esteemed doctor.
Look at you. Look at you introducing like when you used to be on the show.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Who has the power now?
I've never been introduced this way. I've always said, my name is Luke. This is different. I like it.
Really? You like it?
It's different.
Different. And in the far-flung wilds of Seattle, we have Mike.
Yes.
Introduce yourself.
Oh, I thought you were going to introduce me. Should I introduce myself now?
Yeah, you know, I knew
what
I would
screw this up. What are you doing? This is chaos.
Well, that's a great thing, because if you haven't noticed yet, this is a bonus episode. And on our bonus episodes, we don't have the usual quality. So if you're tuning in for the first time, please go back to, you know, episode zero or something like that and sit through the next 80 hours of us talking.
And then you're going to love the bonus episode.
Yeah, then you'll love it and you'll know what's going on. Because this is not a true representation of Fear the Boot quality. You know,
people still don't know who that guy is right now. You know that?
Yeah, I know. He's just sitting out. Well, he's sitting out there in Seattle. So I'm leaving him hanging because that's just the type of manipulative bastard I am. Tex, why don't you introduce yourself?
Besides just like stating my name.
Well, sure. Tell us something about yourself. Something that the Fear
this
the
is what happens when Dan doesn't host.
Tell us something, oh,
something
that the Fear
about
the Boot listeners
the
don't
Fear the Boot
know.
Listeners don't already know.
That is true. Go. Do it.
Oh, okay. Well, my name is Tex, and I am actually just now learning to ski. So I've had my third ski lesson.
Really? How's that going for you? I've never
it's
skied.
It's actually going remarkably well. My first couple of hours, I couldn't even get down the bunny slope without killing mm-hmm. myself.
Yeah.
But by the end of the very first day, I actually managed to stumble and fall my way down a blue slope, and I've actually mm-hmm. skied the hardest blue now after my third lesson.
All right. After your third lesson? That's awesome.
Yeah, good for you.
I accidentally stole ski school on a ski trip once because I didn't realize you had to pay for it. I just skied into the group. I'm like, I don't know. I just fell down the hill, and here's my first skiing experience. Go up the mountain. Can't balance, can't do anything. All the people I went with, perfect skiers, even the new guys.
Right.
So I end up getting about halfway down, crashing and burning, skis flying everywhere. This little, like, 8-year-old girl, adorable as can be, no poles, skis up, stops on, dies like, hey, mister, you dropped your poles. I'm like, you little brat, get away from me!
And then I accidentally kids are scary on the slopes because they have no fear.
Yeah. And like I had a lot at that point. But, I'd love to ski again. It's been years, and I'd probably have to steal skis. Well, I'd really pay for ski school this time and do it instead of skiing in and being like, hey, guys, what's up? Yeah.
I don't know if our listeners would quite get into the argument or not of the whole snowboard versus ski thing. It's a little bit of a cultural divide there. I mean, like, for example, I was standing still in a pretty wide open spot one time with clearance. I mean, like 30 feet of clearance of me on either side, and some 19-year-old on a snowboard, like, flies within a foot of me, wipes out, and then yells at me like it's my fault. I'm like, what, if you hit a tree, is it the tree's fault?
Well, dude, he spilled his Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
All over. Okay, Luke.
Oh, crap. What?
What is something about you that the listeners don't know
I
about?
Am an open friggin' book. I've already divulged all of my
everything
secrets.
Everything you've told the Meyer memoir.
What's not here is in my host bio. I'll give a shout out for my host bio that most people probably haven't read. That let's see. I can both sing and play guitar with mediocre proficiency. Excellent. But I aspire to more, but I'll probably never get there because I don't devote enough time to it. But I've always wanted to be in a band and rock out and do all kinds of fun stuff, but I'm mediocre.
You are kind of an attention whore. I can see you in a band.
Yeah. Well, I could totally be a front man just because I'm such a spotlight whore. Mm-hmm. Why do you think I'm here tonight?
Well, yeah.
Everybody's like, oh, I can't do it. I'm here. What? We're being here.
Look at me.
I'm on the internet, everybody.
Welcome to minor D-list celebrity status.
Actually, according to Dan, we've been upgraded.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We've
Man, when I left the show, we were just D-list.
We get emails from people. And people.
From people. Excellent. Hey, like I get an email from my mom. Does that count?
Actually, that was kind of a weird experience at Gen Con, being sort of like a D-list celebrity in that little tiny niche community.
Uh-huh. So do you have any Gen Cons, or did like people come up to you and you're like, they're like, hey, Tex, and you're like, who are you? Why are you touching me? Why is your hand down my pants?
No, they never.
Well, then that's not a very exciting story, is it?
No, the story is really not that interesting, I guess. But I did, you know, periodically have people just come up to me and introduce themselves and say that they were listeners of the show or
whatever.
That's awesome.
I just missed.
Nothing involved my pants.
Wow, that's disappointing.
Like I said, boring I've been story. Told now that my my subwoofer pants need to be part of the Power 16 next time we do it.
Oh, interesting.
I missed Gen Con. I just started hosting then, and mm-hmm. I hadn't taken off work or anything. So I'm really looking forward to this year. This is gonna be my...
I missed Gen Con because I just stopped hosting.
Exactly. This is going to be my first Gen Con this year if all goes well. But me taking off work is
a lot
kind
of fun.
A big deal.
It was actually put to me as like it's the high school reunion of the high school you wish you went to.
I'd never heard that before.
Yeah, actually, I'd like to re-download that Top Gun episode we did because we recorded it back in August and I haven't listened to it since. And I keep meaning to listen to it, but it is completely NSFW, so I have to listen to it at home.
The only responses I've read have been like, wow. It's kind of weird hearing all the Fear the Boot guys swear and cuss and be dirty since they don't have to go by a rating anymore.
Yeah.
I don't think I really cussed that much.
Oh, I heard you were like a sailor, buddy.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I know Johnny G was definitely...
oh, he
was definitely embracing Quentin Tarantino's interpretation of the film.
So do I, amazingly enough. Too bad I missed that. Oh, well.
Well, should we talk about something?
Did you have any announcements before we
I'm the one who brings up announcements and thankfully Tex is there to remind me as I forget. The only announcement
the host
we have
bio says Tex is the one with the plan.
the only announcement we have is Fear the Con.
Yep.
Booyah. Fear the Con is coming up March 8th. We expect everybody to be there. We're going to have all kinds of gaming, a War Machine tournament. Beer is going to be included and soda included with your admission mm-hmm. price. There's going to be no fee for the tournament, and you get a game with us. Chad's going to play in my Dukes of Hazzard game.
That's
going to be great.
And I'm going to Jell-O Pudding wrestle Tony Mast over Watchmen.
That's going to be an interesting sight.
Yeah, whoever emerges victorious from
you
the
guys
Jell-O Pudding.
Tony's doing an awesome thing with Fear the Fruit. He's buying a bunch of fruit. To bring to hand out as healthy eats there because, you know, most con food's pretty terrible. So that's awesome. And
we will put a link in the show notes. People can donate to Tony's mm-hmm. site, and he will use all the money he gets to buy fruit for the unhealthy gamers.
Which is awesome. And I think mm-hmm. if he has stuff left over, it's either got to go into some sort of wrestling match or he needs to ferment all of it and drink it to the next Fear the Con.
Either way, I think wrestling is going to come of it. So I fully endorse it.
I think you're right. So yes, Fear the Con, March 8th. There'll be linked in the show notes. You can go to Warhorn. It's $15 at the door, $13 if you sign up online, and you can also reserve spots in games. And it's coming up fast. It's just over a month away.
Do we still need volunteers?
We always need volunteers.
Yeah, if you are going to Fear the Con and you want to do some work for us with absolutely zero reward except a hearty handshake and a big thank you from the Fear the Boot crowd, send us an email. Luke at
Fear the Boot. Yep, that'll get us talking. And then I'll probably get you in touch with our volunteer manager. So we're going to need people to sell tickets, sell the food that's there, and probably do all kinds of other random stuff. And we'd love you forever if you did it for us.
That's right. Forever.
We'd probably carve some sort of statue out of you out of wood or maybe ice.
Cheese, maybe?
I was going to say ice, but that wouldn't last very long.
No, it wouldn't. Not forever.
But it could keep drinks cold.
That
might be a more purposeful
Indeed.
Life.
Indeed. So, Jen, what are we going to talk about today on this bonus episode where we just ramble and talk about anything?
Well, I believe today's topic will be cartoons.
Cartoons.
And, yes, and that is already decided may or may not be exclusive to anime.
No, it won't be exclusive to anime. We've got, because I wouldn't be able to talk.
Well, here's I wanted to bring this up because you guys know that if you gave me the chance, I could just gush about Robotech for like a solid hour, and we don't really need an entire bonus episode of that.
Well, let me
turn the question around. What was your least favorite childhood cartoon?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Oh, you know what my least favorite childhood cartoon was? It was the Morning Farm Report. Because I was one of those kids who would get up before the crack of dawn, before my alarm clock even went off, run downstairs on a Saturday morning, turn the TV on, and the only thing on that you could watch was the morning farm report. And I would sit there going through crop future prices and
I remember
pork
that.
Belly sales and the price of cotton per ton. And just like, this is putting me back to sleep. I must stay awake because Mask is going to be on in a few
Mask
minutes.
Was awesome.
I had toys.
I had those toys.
Mask infuriated me because the first season of Mask was awesome. I mean, it was like liquid awesome. I mean, it wasn't quite up to Robotech standards, but the first season of Mask was great.
Of course
but
not.
Then when they came back for the second season, every flipping episode was a race. And it was like, that was the plot to every episode was racing.
Yeah. I don't remember enough of it. I just remember all the cars that did other motorcycles and stuff.
You're not very many, but you are a couple years older than me. I don't think my cognitive ability was at a point yet where I cared if it was, you know, races or not. I think I was still into the Scooby-Doo thing where I didn't know yet that all the episodes were exactly identical to each other. So, but
well,
yeah,
actually,
I can,
one that
looking
aggravated
back
me about
on it,
Scooby-Doo was when they started working in the celebrity guest stars.
Are you kidding?
In
those are the best ones, Jonathan Winters.
Like,
well,
they had
just
Sonny
doing
and Cher on Scooby-Doo.
Oh, that's the Harlem Globetrotters. Oh.
Harlem Globetrotters was pretty good.
Yeah,
oh,
well, they had
good.
One with Laurel and Hardy too.
And Laurel and Hardy have been dead for years. I don't understand how that happened.
I love the people they consider celebrities. Like again, Jonathan Winters is on there, or maybe Don Rickles this time.
Yeah, yeah.
Going back to the question, my least favorite cartoon is probably Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers.
I used to watch that a
there's
lot.
Some, me
oh,
too.
Yeah,
I just didn't.
That.
Of the Disney cartoons, because they're in a block, there'd be DuckTales, which I think we can all agree was phenomenal.
Yes.
There was Rescue Rangers, and there was Tailspin, which I actually liked a lot because I'm a
Tailspin
big airship
was great,
fan.
Yeah.
But Chip and there was something about Chip and Dale's I just didn't
DuckTales
like.
Didn't have an, or Tailspin didn't have an airship.
Well, it kind of had a lot of flying stuff. It shouldn't have flown. It shouldn't have flown. Leave it at that.
Oh, okay.
The and then of course later there was Darkwing Duck, which was pretty hot,
which is good. Yeah,
but that's my least favorite.
I really did not like.
So, what's
Alvin
the
and
most
the
obscure cartoon you can remember from your childhood that was also a commercial? Because I know, like when we were children, it was a little bit more common that the cartoons were actually also commercials. I mean, so there was like Transformers and Thundercats and G.I. Joe, but
I've
there was also
two.
A whole product line behind that. And of course, then at the end, to try to give the show some redeeming value, they'd put in that little public service announcement about like how not to burn your house down.
I had two that I loved and not very many people saw them. And I'm sure if I went back and watched them today, I'd be like, wow, this is trash.
We call that nostalgicide.
Yeah. One of them was the Pole Position cartoon.
I remember Pole Position because I loved racing back then.
Yeah.
And it always came on Channel 4. It was there'd be cartoons and then it'd go to that stupid local like live action like Muppet show they'd show, like there'd be the guy in the, there was the Gator Tales and there was something else, and then maybe if we were lucky.
Are you talking about DB's Delight?
Yes, DB's Delight. And
you
then,
hated DB's
then
Delight.
Gators,
you know, I know two people who were on DB's Delight.
It still sucked.
Actually,
you know what?
One
it made me wait for Pole Position.
DB's Delight.
That's right.
It made me wait.
You do know that Dan and Mike were on DB's Delight, right?
I did not know that.
Yeah, and they won.
Wow.
Yeah.
You guys made me
actually,
wait for Pole Position.
Actually, if you drop by my parents' house, I believe they still have the videotape of me winning DB's Delight. And actually, that was the reason my parents bought a VCR. We actually got the family's first VCR the day after I recorded that, so they could tape it on that Saturday.
Nice. Very cool.
That's not really a cartoon.
No.
But Pole Position, though, was what we were talking about.
Yeah, and Pole Position. I don't even remember
I don't think they were
what it was like.
With
I
that.
Just remember, well, they were plugging the video game, I guess.
Do you remember the, there was a Pac-Man cartoon?
Oh, yeah.
That
and
one
I always thought that was
crappy.
Funny because it's like, how much plot can you get out of Pac-Man?
Chomp, chomp, chomp. Well, you could run away from Ghost, which is the plot of Ghost Hunters now, so I guess. But I remember a cartoon. I can't remember the name of it. Well, actually, it wasn't a cartoon. It was a live action thing like Power Rangers, but it was pre-Power Rangers. And they had like red on the screen. There would be a place where you can actually shoot the bad guys and you'd buy the toys to do it. Like you could buy a fighter jet.
That was kind of like you got a little laser tag kit and you could actually use the laser tag kit while you watch the show.
Yeah. Well, this thing would actually keep score whenever you actually shot one of the bad guys, it made a sound. I always thought that was really, really cool. And then I was like, oh, it's just a long commercial, so I'll buy cheap toys. All right, rock and roll.
Speaking of long commercials,
you know,
I used to watch
touch,
laser
but
tag.
I don't quite see the total shameless commercialism in children's programming these days where you're actually supposed to go out and buy toys to use with the television show.
No, I think actually the cartoons have come to a place of respect in the last maybe 8 to 10 years, where now they're actually considered a form of art instead of just commercials like they were for most of the 70s yeah. and 80s.
They're still for kids, unlike like Japanese animation, where it's
crap. You know, they, oh, I'm stuck my throat.
Yeah, you know, there's all different kinds of stuff in anime.
I know.
We'll you know, talk I about think that the Japanese animation fills a gap in our market. Because a lot of American cartoons are targeted at real little kids.
Right, right.
And then there's programming that's targeted for, like, adults. But I don't think there's a lot that's targeted for older children. I mean, that's one reason I fell for Robotech so hard. See, is because there was a big unfilled need where I was old enough to start to want a show with a plot and character development and things like that.
I had the same experience.
But I wasn't ready for prime time.
I had the same experience with Robotech because I remember watching and being like, holy crap. Bad things are actually happening to the good guys. Somebody just died.
Right.
Those engines just ripped out of that. This doesn't happen in cartoons. This is awesome.
Yeah. That's why I like anime today, is mm-hmm. because in Japan, you know, their cartoons are for little kids, and they're for older kids, and they're for teenagers. And then they also have them for adults, where they have anime that is targeted demographically to 30 and 40 year old males and 30 and 40 year old females, too. And I love the medium. I love animation. I love comic books, but I'm not a little kid anymore. So the little kid stuff just doesn't cut it for me. And so I go to anime. I love anime. Love it.
Yeah. We'll talk
I have a ton of it.
We'll talk about that in a bit. The we were talking about something else. I just completely lost the train of thought that led into the anime talk. We're talking about niches. I was just going to say that I've been watching some of the more recent programming on Cartoon Network. I've been away for cartoons for a while. I remember when
Metalocalypse. Yeah. I love it. I just bought the first season and the soundtrack.
Man, when we were in college, all we did was watch Space Ghost Coast to Coast. We thought it was the most brilliant thing ever. And then, like, after we're out, was when Adult Swim comes on, and, you know, you get the Brack Show and C-Lab 2021, which was amazing, and Metalocalypse, and a million different shows on there now. And I wish I'd had that when I was in college, because now it's just, I TiVo it, and my wife doesn't want to watch it, so it's hard for me to catch up with.
Oh, yeah? My wife wants to watch it. My wife loves anime. She loves cartoons. She loves Metal. I didn't think that she would like Metalocalypse because it's very bloody and brutal and it's all about metal and stuff. Thing is that when she was in high school, she went through a metal phase where she listened to all kind of hard rock and heavy metal and stuff. And she, when I started playing it, she's like, oh my God, this takes me back. This is so awesome. And we blew through the whole first season. She loved it. Absolutely loved it.
You know, I found though that some women do appreciate like Full Metal Alchemist or Trigun or Cowboy Bebop, just because there's a bit of an ongoing plot to it.
Yeah.
And the characters are not quite so one-dimensional.
See, here's the thing. I've tried lots and lots of anime, because let me tell you how this works, gentlemen, as you guys are fans of anime. When you're not a fan of anime and you announce as such, so you always get the exact same response from everybody, which is, oh, well, you just haven't watched the right anime yet.
You get the response of, try Last Exile. And if you don't like Last Exile, you don't like anime.
I've watched a ton of different anime, and it never hooks me. Last Exile has everything I like in a genre, as you can attest from one of the games I ran. I love that
kind
of stuff.
It has airships and stuff, and a 1930s art deco.
Yeah, I loved it. I liked the style. I liked the style. I liked the world, but it just didn't hook me. I don't like that most anime is very slowly paced, too. That kind of gets to me. Maybe my attention span isn't what it used to be.
You don't see it quite so much on the anime that's being brought in these days, but I remember back when I was a kid, the anime that I was watching, they always had the same basic five characters. And so whether you were watching Battle of the Planets or Voltron, and actually that was my epiphany moment when I realized that Battle of the Planets and Voltrons had the exact same characters. So you had the fat guy, you had the hothead, you had the leader, you had the little kid, and you had the girl.
But
and
oh, no,
was
no.
Like the
no,
same
you're leaving
five...
out the best character on Voltron, Mother Effin' Sven, who got kicked off the show. I love Sven, and he was just gone. He came back later in a nice little tie-in.
Who's Sven?
Sven originally...
Because I never watched Voltron. I hated
Sven
Voltron.
Originally piloted the Blue Lion before the princess took over. He got... I think he got stabbed or sick, and he had to be taken off planet, and he shows up like 2 seasons later. He's a resistance fighter for humans now. He kind of comes back, and he's all French resistance and whatnot.
Yeah, by the way, in Voltron, how come their uniforms didn't hardly ever match their lions? I mean, like, Keith, who drove the black lion, had the red uniform.
Well, the thing is,
how do you know that they didn't
match?
And
the guy who drove the red lion had the blue uniform.
How do you know they didn't match? Because those shows were so cut up and edited. that, you know, very well they might have matched, but then that whoever edited them, you could have had a different guy in a different line every week. But
well, yeah,
I don't know about
Princess
specifically
had the pink
Voltron.
Uniform, and there was no pink line, and Sven actually had the black uniform. But as Luke said, he was only like in one or two episodes.
Right. Well, actually, didn't Sven wear the blue? Because wasn't the dude who's in the red line wore the black uniform? Lance was the first guy. I can't remember.
Lance had the blue uniform, but he drove the red line.
That's it. Oh, I thought it was black. Okay, I could be wrong. It's been too long. I have the first season.
I couldn't stand Voltron.
I have the first. I loved growing up, Voltron and He-Man, two favorite shows, far and away.
Yeah.
And then also, and you guys might laugh at this, but if anybody goes back and watches it, Gummy Bears for its time.
Oh,
had
I love Gummy Bears.
The best animation and best storytelling ever.
I've seen probably every single episode of Gummy Bears.
They got an episode with the man with no name in it. I mean, what more do you want? It's a bounty hunter coming in, and it's him. It's great.
Yeah.
I love Gummy Bears.
Yeah, Gummy Bears.
I'm not
great.
Afraid to admit it.
Yeah. I like their opening theme song. They had like this sort of, well, they changed it.
Dancing and daring, creative and caring.
Yeah, you could actually sing
friendly
along.
And stories to share.
Well, if you want your childhood memories slaughtered, sometimes there's internet sites that have some of those old cartoons that you can find. And like, I found an episode of Gem and the Holograms.
She's truly outrageous. Truly, truly,
that
truly
was awful.
Outrageous.
truly outrageous.
Oh, what was the name of her computer? When she switches over, she would talk to it. Sapphire, no.
It was when I was a little kid. I never watched Jim because I was a boy, and so I mean, but hey, I'm not judging. If you guys watched it,
I had a sister. We watched Jim and we watched She-Ra. We couldn't. It was all part of
the only child.
Yeah,
so.
It was all
well,
part
She-Ra
of.
She-Ra was basically just He-Man all
with
over
boobs.
Again with. With different characters,
boobs.
Yeah. The basic plot and the basic character elements were the same.
Hmm. Pretty much, but it was still it was pretty much a good show, but I was not a big fan of Jim. I'm still trying to remember her activation word, who somebody's probably shouting at their MP3 player right now, because it's, is it Sparkle something? It's killing me, because I was just joking around with somebody about this, and it's going to kill me all night. Ew. There is one cartoon that I bet if I Googled I could find, but I've never been able to remember the name of it. They only showed 5 episodes. That's all they ever made of
Fritz
it.
Fritz the Cat?
No, it wasn't Fritz the Cat.
Okay.
Wizards? No, Wizards was awesome. I liked Wizards, by the way. No, this was
trying
actually,
to name all the cartoons I know, American cartoons with naked people in them.
Well, no, this wasn't naked people. This was actually on. This was an adventure cartoon on TV. And there was a guy. It was like a post-apocalyptic or barbarian-type world. Hard to tell back then. And he had a shield that would open up, and there was like a throwing star in there he could control. He could also fly with the shield. I thought that was the coolest cartoon ever, and then it was off the air, and I was too young to remember the name, and I guess I could Google that. But
there was a cartoon. It was like Ulysses 3031 or something like that was on very briefly, where I remember the guy was sort of like, it was like all Greek mythology, but it was in outer space. It was like sci-fi Greek mythology.
Speaking of outer space, though, did it, Galaxy High. Was fun to go back and watch. You guys ever watch Galaxy High? Where they take the nerdy Earth girl and the jock Earth guy and who, you know, got popular and unpopular. They go to this space high school, Galaxy High, and it completely switches. And they're, again, pretty cool stuff. It was good. That was one of my favorite shows growing up.
What was it? Silverhawks. The guys in the powered armor.
Yeah.
I remember I was talking
online. The
one online.
That Darkwing from Marvel's based on or looks just like when he put the... Darkhawk.
Do you guys remember that being as good or bad? Because I remember as a kid it being really good, but then I was on a forum somewhere and we were talking about it and everybody universally was like, oh, that was terrible. I even hated it as a kid. It was awful.
I didn't watch much of it.
Good things about it.
I remember the figures.
The thing that upset me about Silverhawks is I think I was old enough to understand that you cannot drive an open top limousine in outer space with no helmet and not suffocate and die. And so it bothered me that they were always like in outer space, but they never wore helmets and they had open top cars.
Right. Phlogiston. Don't worry about it.
Well, and the guy had a guitar gun or something like that.
Yeah, it was some sort of guitar weapon and he always piloted the spaceship
because
with
you know
his
that's
cowboy
practical.
Hat on. But you know, even Silverhawks had that same thing with the 5 characters where you had the leader, the hothead, the fat guy, the kid. You know,
that's to appeal to kids.
A team thing, though. In Japan, it has a specific name. I'm not even going to try and pronounce it because I don't even remember what the name is. But yeah, it's that team concept where you have basically a superhero team. My understanding is that it kind of got started with Science Ninja Team Gatchaman, which was Battle of the Planets, which was something else and something else. I mean, they cut it up and repackaged it at least 5 times. But the original,
I mean, I can think of probably half a dozen cartoons where you've got those same five basic characters of the girl, the hothead, the leader, the fat guy, and the kid.
Well, I prefer the more distilled version from the video game Ice Hockey, where you just have the fat guy, the skinny guy, and the medium guy. I don't need the girl or anybody else. I like it distilled.
You don't need properties. The girls. You just like the fat guy and the skinny guy.
I am the fat guy. I'm not the skinny guy.
Yeah. you want to be the skinny guy.
No, he was quick, but he could bounce out of the way too. He's the fat guy's rule. Three fat guys on an ice hockey team rocked.
What the hell game are you talking
about? Ice Hockey, the Nintendo.
Never played it.
You missed out. It's the best hockey game ever.
Did you ever play Base Wars?
Yeah, I played Base Wars.
Did you really?
Yeah, who didn't play Base Wars?
Actually,
it's robots playing baseball.
Yeah, I know.
They fight.
You could steal first base and kill the first baseman.
It's like the first time you played Archon where it's like, my chess pieces have to fight now. This is the best thing ever.
See, I had Battle Chess before Archon. Battle Chess was awesome.
I don't think anything can top Archon. That little whirlwind guy, he effed
Archon was
up.
Archon was hard, though.
Yeah, good thing I'm smart. No, I
good thing you're delusional.
I played Base Wars, and I loved it.
Dan and I got a lot of mileage out of Base Wars.
Probably the game I remember most playing with groups as a kid was Summer Olympics when it's on the C64.
Oh, that was the
Summer
controller
Olympics
breaker.
Was awesome. Yeah. Well, this was before. This wasn't even on console. This was only on PC.
Mm.
Somebody had that with the joysticks who were rattling it back and forth to try to do stuff. It was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And back to cartoons as I take us on a wild tangent spree.
Well, let's go over to comics. Because I read comics. I read American comics and
wait,
I read.
Can we talk about cartoons more?
You want to talk about cartoons?
I have one more cartoon topic.
I'm sorry. Go for it.
But, well, we haven't even gotten to the fact
that. This is a bonus episode. We could start talking about pot roast if we want to.
I know.
To.
Well, I was going to. I had one more topic about cartoons, but I was.
Luke,
are we going to have the anime?
Luke,
what?
What's your topic?
The reimagined ones. What do you guys think of that? Like,
what do you mean?
The new. Just a few years ago, they redid He-Man. They just redid. God. They're redoing Transformers now.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is wonderful because you have the comic book, the original comic book of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the black and white one. Vicious, bloody, people dying. Turtles are cussing. It's dark. It's nasty. I love it. Then you have the cartoon, which is for little kids designed to sell toys to 10-year-olds. Cute, cuddly, only thing that gets destroyed are robots. Even then, you know, it was all very cutesy and cuddly, and it was very weak. Although I loved it as a kid,
yeah, it was
because
awesome as a kid.
I was right on that demographic, and it was great.
But, you know, I can't stand that whole genre of cartoons where there was violence without consequences, because it aggravated the heck out of me. There'd be violence through the whole cartoon, ever really get hurt or die. And I remember Robotech got pulled off the Cartoon Network because Roy Fokker dies.
The day I stopped
to spoil it, Tex. People haven't seen that.
Dies? You bastards! Doesn't he die like in the really early on?
Yeah, I think it's pretty early on.
But anyway.
Actually, I was about to say, well, in case someone's been under a rock for like the last 20 some odd years and hasn't seen it, but then actually I've been going through Robotech with my girlfriend. She actually likes it. We've watched the entire Macross Saga and we're ready to start setting across now.
I actually ran the Robotech role-playing game back in college. My one taste.
Oh, the Palladium game?
My one taste of the Palladium system. Ew. I ran two games. I'm like, this system
awful.
Doesn't even make sense. And we're all like looking at it like, how is this even supposed to run? It sure did look cool.
Yeah.
And then we retired and
they
went back to playing
covers.
Something that was good.
That's the thing about Palladium.
Oh,
they have
awesome
one
covers.
Covers
but... Dan always wanted to run Mospita campaigns because Dan likes the whole, you know, rebel sneaking around against the Invid, where my favorite was always Macross. And so Dan and I were always at a bit of loggerheads role-playing Robotech because I was always gravitating as hard as I could back to Macross, and he was doing as hard as he could towards Mospita.
And, you know, and those are two totally separate animes that have absolutely nothing to do with each other.
Yeah, they do. They both have robots that turn into airplanes.
Oh, yeah. Take that, Chad.
They're made by different companies.
That's all the connection you need.
I'm with Tex.
Oh, okay. So,
oddly enough, I am with Tex on this one.
You know, I had no clue that Transformers and Robotech shared the same.
You know,
Genesis
I generally thing. Have a rule of agreeing with Repagers and that I don't, but I'm with him on this.
Huh.
Giant robots equal same.
Yeah.
Hey, especially giant robots that turn into airplanes. I mean, that's
two GoBots, baby. Woo!
Oh, GoBots, no. No.
GoBots were awesome. What are you
My parents
about?
Tried to buy me GoBots, and I was like,
can I have a Transformer, please?
Yeah, GoBots. Well, and then there were the knockoffs, too. It was like GoBots were the cheaper version of the Transformers, but then there were even like knockoff GoBots.
My
that
parents
were,
bought
called,
me a whole box of those knockoff Transformers.
They're like made out of Tupperware grade plastic.
They're just called OTS. Hey, guess what's some OTS? This one transforms into a rock.
I'll trade you 5 aughts for Megatron. Hell no.
Megatron was awesome because he turned into a gun. You all can have your Transformer planes. I am a gun.
Shockwave was the
wristwatch that turns into a robot.
Shockwave because it turned into a laser gun. I love Shockwave was one of my favorite toys.
I'm thinking of the guy who turns into the boombox.
Shockwave's the boombox. Which one was the... He always stayed on Cybertron. And he's all futuristic because he never went to Earth and got changed into an Earth.
That's
thing.
A cassette player guy. I think we're talking about the same guy who may not even be called Shockwave.
I think Shockwave. I have the wrong.
I think
name.
No, we might have the wrong name too. Yeah. Crap, we're gonna be.
Yeah, the boombox was.
We're gonna get hell for this episode.
Blaster, oh my god, and Soundwave was the Sony Walkman.
Well, you know, you want me to take the heat off of you guys for this Transformers debacle just walked into? I hate the Transformers.
Really?
Yeah, because when I was a kid, I watched Transformers constantly, loved it, right? Because again, we're talking the right demographic for it. And so I loved it. And then I had a bunch of the toys, although my parents got me more like we're saying aughts. And I had like a couple of real Transformers and Dan had a whole bunch too. And I loved it. So years passed. I'm not even talking, I get into high school. I mean, like I am out of college and I get to thinking about it. I'm like, man, you know, I really love Transformers and you know, we always talk about it and stuff. And Dan really, really loves Transformers. And so I'm like, I'm going to go on like YouTube or something. I'm going to pull up an episode just at random, just an episode. Oh, my God. It was horrible. It's like there was one point where Optimus Prime is talking about going to rescue Bumblebee and Bumblebee is standing right next to him. And it's just like the animation is terrible. The plots are shallow and it's just like. Oh, how did I like this as a kid?
See, I just remember the good stuff.
Reference Texas
it.
Earlier comment to nostalgia side.
Nostalgia side. Total nostalgia side. I wish I had never watched it because I would have nothing but fond memories.
I got to say that going back to the reimagining cartoons, the new Transformers that just started, I thought I would hate. But I'm the guy who loves, I love covers of songs because I like to see how other people interpret other artists' work. So I collect covers from every band imaginable. I try to get all that I can. Because I love that kind of stuff. So I kind of like it when people reimagine cartoons just to see their take on it. And the new Transformers is very different, but it's got so many similar elements and even the same, you know, of course, mainly the same characters and done better in some ways. I'm like, this is kind of fun to watch.
The new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, going back to my original story, the new series that they released is phenomenally good because it's more towards the comic book. Now, there's some things they can't do. You know, they can't cuss and they can't really kill people in there. But they have this great storyline and it's not like each individual episode is wrapped up by the end of it. There's a story arc that goes over through a whole season and then the next season comes up and it's a new story arc that it references the story arc from the past season. Like if you catch the show in the middle, you really won't know what's going on or why the guys are doing it. All that their personalities are darker and you know, it's not like, hey, dude, let's eat a pizza, cowabunga, and all that crap. It's like good dialogue and story. It's probably one of the better serious American cartoons I've seen.
I enjoyed the reimagining of He-Man, which I'm waiting for.
You know,
DVD
I've not seen it. I've not
He-Man
even heard that they did
it.
I'd watch that.
It was a few years ago. He-Man was one of my absolute favorite cartoons. Yeah. I probably had more He-Man toys than anything else. I love that crap. And then I was like, ooh, they're remaking it, and it looks all anime-ish. I'm going to hate this. And I watched it. I'm like, I'm digging this. You know, it's different, but it's got a good vibe. I enjoyed it. And now there's some reason it's not out on DVD yet, but they keep saying it's coming, so I'm just kind of waiting.
I'm sure it will, yeah. They make dozens.
Everything now, comes out on DVD eventually.
Well, I just feel like shamelessly segueing onto reimagination. What do you guys think of the reimagined Battlestar Galactica? Do you remember the 1979 TV show?
Look, yeah, I grew up on the old one, but I've not seen the new
one.
I'm
the one who lent your brother the first season that got him to watch the whole thing. I'm a fan. I was too young to really watch the first Battlestar Galactica. I got some of it when it was replayed, and it was okay. But some of my friends, about midway through the first season, handed me the miniseries and showed me that. And I'm like, this is fantastic. This is one of the best things I've
seen
on TV.
I've heard it's wonderful. I need to get around to
watching
it. When
we go upstairs, I will give you the DVDs. Are upstairs.
Yeah, sure. I'll watch it.
Yeah.
As soon as I get done with Band of Brothers. See, Dawn and I don't really watch TV anymore. And so we only catch the really, really good stuff if somebody, like Band of Brothers. Everybody says it's wonderful.
Because it is.
Because it is. It kicks your butt. And so it's just like, okay, well, everyone says this is good and the series is over, and so I can pick up the whole thing and watch it at once whenever I want to.
I'm currently I actually think that was the best way to watch. I caught up on the first two seasons of Lost because I missed out, and I think I was better off for it. That story's better told in big chunks rather than week to week.
Well, yeah, because I have not seen Lost, but my understanding is that there's a whole lot of mystery and stuff with it, and that's J.J. Abrams for you. But you have to watch, like, you could forget the little itty bitty things. Like, some guy has a tattoo that you see for 5 seconds and you see half of it, but that's like a major turning plot point in there that means all this stuff. Or some guy's reading a comic book.
A lot of people got really mad at season 2. They didn't like the way it went and didn't like the pace of the story. But watching on DVD, I'm like, this is, I wouldn't call it as good as season 1, but it's right up there. And I thought it was fine, but I watched it in chunks, and I think that made it a much better viewing experience. Because I watched season 3. Separated like everybody else, saw like 7 episodes, waited 4 months to see the rest, and it took half a season before it got good, and it eventually got great, but boy, did it start out bad.
Well, let's go away from like normal actors and stuff television, because we are talking about comics and animation here. Now that you've gotten your little cartoon point out, let's switch over to comic books.
What are these comic books?
Do either of you guys read this? And Luke, I'll go with you. Do you read American comic books at all?
Yes. I go through phases. I used to be, and then when I was in high school and junior high, I read a lot of Marvel. I actually quit reading Marvel. Actually, I didn't read any DC because DC was really dumb at the time. I didn't like it at all. But I read everything Marvel put out. And the last thing I read before I finally gave up comics for a long time was the Infinity War. I loved the Infinity Gauntlet. Infinity War was like, this is kind of weird. And I was done. And then once I get old, basically I started reading comics again when they started putting out trade paperbacks.
Because they made it, paperbacks are
the best thing to ever happen to comics, because I wait to hear what's good. I go and read the first one. If I like it, I buy more. If I don't, I don't.
Reading 2 30-page comic books a month, or sometimes 1 30-page comic book a month, I did not like that. I don't like having a pull list. I don't like having it dribbled out to me. I would rather wait until it's all in one big collection. So now, Tex, do you read American comic books at all?
Not really. When I was in college, my friendly local gaming store was also a comic shop. And so I briefly toyed with it, but that was during the time when they were trying to get the last mileage they could have out of, like, Batman and Superman especially.
Right.
And so the plots were just getting ridiculously far out. I mean, it was just, like, stuff that made Days of Our Lives look plausible.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I got so turned off by just the how far-fetched the plots were, trying to still get mileage out of, 60-year-old characters.
Yeah, I agree.
I kind of walked away from it and, spent all my money on
Games. You're better off. And look, here's the problem with a lot of the traditional American comics is that most of the big properties are 60 years old, and there's really, I won't say there's no stories to tell, but it's really hard to find something new. And look what's happening with Marvel. I actually got back into comics reading monthly for a while there when DC's Identity Crisis came out, and I'm like, this is the best thing I've read in a long time. So I followed the Infinite Crisis, the New Crisis, and all the crap, even 52 for a while until I got bored of that. But I tried to start reading Marvel again. I'm like, I hate what they're doing. This is ridiculous. The Civil War was going on. I'm like, what is this? And why is it dumb? And why is Peter Parker revealing himself? And now they're resetting everything and taking it back. Peter Parker's made a deal with Mephisto.
Oh, that was
to save Aunt May, who's 99 years old.
Huge wank on the internet. I love internet wanks. I go to internetwanklives.com all the time. I love it. Love it. People just going crazy over, like, that. Dawn found it when she found a My Little Pony wank. And her and I have been hooked ever since. And there is a huge wank going on over this Peter Parker thing.
Well, I mean, they're doing ridiculous stuff, and they're trying to get people to buy it, where everybody knows the guy who runs Marvel does not like the fact Peter Parker is married, doesn't like Mary Jane. So now they found a way to get them separated by erasing it from the timeline, and then Peter sacrifices all this just to bring Aunt May back, who's like 98 years old, and it's like, let her die! Let her go! She's your kryptonite, man! Let her go!
Now, see, myself, when I was in high school, Dan and I had a friend who was actually at the time Dawn's boyfriend. He owned a comic book shop. And Dan and I would go over there and hang out with him. And that's actually where I met Dawn. And that's the start of a whole nother bonus episode one day, maybe, probably not. And so we had a pull box there. We would get some of the comics. That's when like Image came out.
Sure.
Whole bunch of writers and artists separated from Marvel and DC, started their own company, a couple of companies, and they like raised the bar for American comic books. They started adding in violence,
which they later dropped immensely.
Oh yeah,
but it
yeah.
started out great.
Yeah, it was like the revival of comics.
And, I mean, when Spawn came out, it's like, what is yeah, this? No, I've not kidding. Seen anything like this.
And I love.
I've never seen so many muscles on the human body before.
His muscles had muscles. And then I read the Max, which was great. If he
I saw the cartoon series.
Yeah, so did I. So I was a huge Max fan. But the guy who makes it, I forget what his name is, he was like real lazy and he doesn't produce. So there it like never came out.
So anyway,
Dan and I got in on this sort of comic books renaissance, like right on the ground floor, and then it rose up and then we're like, no, it's not that exciting. So we stopped our pull box and then we kind of got out of it. But you know, years later, Dawn is really into comics, and she was reading Excalibur, and then she was reading like Sandman, which is DC, but still sort of underground type thing. It's not mainstream.
It was underground. It's kind of big.
Yeah, you know, Sandman's kind of a big thing.
Kind of a big deal.
Hey, Chad, let me revisit one of your earlier points. What do you think about some of these franchises that drag on for a long time, where they have the love interest or the romance, but because they have to drag the franchise out for 60 years, that they're basically in perpetual girlfriend mode?
Oh, well,
see, that actually aggravates me, where the guys, you know, had the same girlfriend for like 30 years and she's still his girlfriend. And it's like the relationship is so static.
I hate comic books that have perpetual storylines. I like underground comics that have a story. Like Bone is a wonderful comic book, and it has a beginning, it has a middle, and it has an ending, and it's wonderful. I really don't care for these comic books where, and it's not an age thing. It's not like these characters have been 30 years old for 80 years and they've been married all the time. I don't care about that. But it, to me, it's just like it goes on and on and on. I just am the type of person, I like a story that has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And mainstream comics, you really can't find that.
No.
I mean, I'm sure there's somebody out there who's like, oh my God, did Marvel has this
like
and DC has
the
this.
Wedding issues where they actually like where Spider-Man and Superman got married.
Oh yeah.
Because I liked them because I was actually happy to see the characters actually
Did you
go
just say Spider-Man and Superman got married?
That'd be the best comic
other.
Ever.
Did I misunderstand that or
no, not to each other.
Oh,
DC, Marvel, listen, the crossover potential.
You probably found that comic in a con or something. That's not an official canon,
dude. It's,
you know, publication.
It's somewhere
there.
On the internet. I promise you that.
Yeah.
It is somewhere on the internet.
And if it's not, it is now.
Somebody just said, that's a good idea.
In Japan, they call that yao. But
yao, that hurts my head.
You know what? It does. Yao is awful.
Speaking of the perpetualness and me getting out of that, I just started reading a bunch of newer trades. I was sticking to the usual Marvel stuff. Like, oh, look, like Planet Hulk I just got. And like, I know. It was actually better than I thought, but still.
No, it's not.
1602 I read. I'm like, this is kind of cool. Again, I like reimagining, so it was kind of interesting.
Did you read the Wolverine origin story?
No, I heard it was bad.
No, it's good.
Really? I'll check it out then.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah. I heard it was bad, so I avoided it. Because I really didn't want to know Wolverine's origin. I think it really
It makes sense. We're talking Wolverine, we're talking X-Men, we're talking Marvel. So there is a little bit of camp to it. But it's plausible, it's feasible, it's interesting. It develops his character. It explains why things are happening as they are now. I enjoyed it. I didn't pay for it, but I enjoyed it.
For the mainstream stuff, I guess kind of mainstream, I liked Invincible. One of my buddies turned me on to that, which for a superhero comic, it has a very Silver Age feel with modern values. It's a really fun read. It's just a fun, lighthearted comic book, but it deals with serious stuff, too.
You know what I like?
What?
Persepolis.
I don't know what that is.
No, you probably won't. It's an Iranian comic book.
Yeah,
so.
I don't know what that is. I've been turned on to...
They actually just made a movie out of it.
Really?
Yep.
That's cool.
It's not showing in St. Louis.
Have you guys seen some of the comic books that were made during World War II?
No.
Okay, those are actually somewhat interesting because I keyed off of Chad's Iranian comic thing where things were, you know, getting politicized a little bit. And so during World War II, Marvel and DC made a lot of kind of war issues or war episodes to the comics, where you'd actually have like a Superman fighting Nazis.
Everybody fights Nazis.
There was a book
Well, they talked about, you know, how do you do that? I mean, because, you know, in theory, Superman could by himself defeat an entire army.
They're just trying to pump up the troops.
Actually, weave that in and make it interesting.
I don't think they were trying. I think they're just trying to put their own spin on it. Like, hey, look, we support the war.
There was a book I read, not a comic book, a novel I read, called by Michael Chabon, and although I probably just slaughtered his name there, I don't remember what the book was called. It's like The Amazing Something. The book is escaping my mind right now, and I'm sure hundreds of people are yelling at the radio right now. Wonderful book. And it is about these kids in the 40s who are making a comic book, and they're both Jewish, and it's basically about this superhero, and he's doing the superhero stuff. Then war breaks out and they're trying to get published and stuff. And so this guy, you know, learns from his family what Hitler is doing to basically his family over in Europe. And he makes, and at the time, America was riding the fence. They weren't, you know, they kind of support Hitler. They kind of didn't. They weren't, you know, they didn't want to get into war. They weren't coming out and saying anything. So he makes this comic book cover where it's their main character punching Hitler in the face and knocking his ass out. And the book is wonderful. I mean, it has Stan Lee makes an appearance. All the old guy, Will Eisner makes an appearance in the book. And it's about it's about these two characters, and it develops the characters, and they're really good in the comic book industry in New York in the 40s.
Okay.
And about how it grows. And
you've sold me already. I want to read this now.
I have it at home. I'll lend it to you.
Okay.
It is a
wonderful book. You have to start with Game of Thrones then. I mean, we have to make a deal here.
You know what they did too? Is that they made a deal with Marvel, because the comic book that they're doing throughout the whole thing is called The Escapist. Marvel did The Escapist comic book, tied it in with the book and everything. And there's supposed to be an Escapist movie that the moment it comes out, I'm going to go see
cool.
it. Yeah.
You know, I had a comics turning point about a year ago when I was searching for new stuff to read, when I was lucky enough to pick up Preacher, which was the first of like the Vertigo.
Which you have just loaned me. I've never read. I'm going to read them all. Thank you very much.
It's excellent. But by far and away, the best comic series I've ever read. And it has, again, start, middle, and end. And almost was a series on HBO before they canceled it. It's been greenlit. We'll see if anything ever happens. But that was the first Vertigo title I read. And now I'm looking for more stuff like that. Because earlier I thought, I'll just keep the superheroes because that's fun. But now I start out with some Why the Last Man. I've been keeping up with The Walking Dead, which I absolutely love. But Preacher was just a phenomenal read. It's got everything I like in a comic book and in a story, really. It's excellent. Cool. So is The Gunslinger Born, except for I've already read that story. It's like, why? I liked that they went to the Dark Tower. I like to see that stuff. But the only problem I had was, it's like, I know the story and the art's neat, but I really don't need to be told it again.
Okay, well, I am going to ask each of you guys, quick question. What is your favorite comic book and why? Because I'm wearing the t-shirt right now of my favorite comic book.
Which I'm reading right now. I'm on...
Favorite American comic book.
I'm on book 3 of that right now. We'll get to that in a second.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll hold... Tex, what was your favorite comic book? I know you said you didn't read many, but...
Well, I think one of the characters I liked the most was the Punisher, because you kind of had the moral ambivalence there of the bad guy was... the good guy was also a bit of a bad guy.
I don't think he has the ability... I think the Punisher's superpower is that he doesn't have the ability to feel guilt.
His superpower is justification.
Yes. A moral right.
But I mean, that's the reason I liked it, though, was the fact that there was some moral ambivalence around the main character, and was the good guy actually a little bad, as opposed to, you know, some of the older ones like Superman or Captain America, especially the older comic books where they were just paragons of virtue and their superpowers just put them so far and above everybody else.
Well, Punisher was...
Well, that's also why I like Batman a little bit, because, you know, he doesn't actually have quote-unquote superpowers aside from a super budget.
Yeah, that's for sure. He does have a superpower. It's unlimited wealth. I mean, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, and time.
Time, yeah. Although he does run a multi-billion-dollar multinational corporation by day. And I don't understand how that works, but I don't really care, because Batman's a ninja.
Yeah.
So that's
Batman's
all I really
an
need.
Awesome ninja.
But you know how I know that's a comic book? Is you actually look at the world's real super wealthy people, and none of them actually, like, you know, create cars and airplanes that they use to fight crime. I mean, I was watching a thing on television the other day about like the mega yachts of the super rich. And there was a guy that had a driving range installed on the back of his yacht. And it was like so automated, he didn't have to tee his own ball. Like he would just push a button and like this little rubber hose
he
would come up out of the deck with a golf ball on it.
Instead of,
and then he actually had like little life preservers that they would scatter out behind the boat that was the holes. And you would actually have like crew members paddling around in rowboats trying to fetch the ball.
Well, you're rich enough, man. Like, you can pay people to do anything.
See, that's what the super rich actually do. They wouldn't actually like, you know, get a cave and in a cave install computers
they
and cars
people.
And
their parents have been killed.
No, they don't. Nobody knows what Batman's really doing. There could be like some super rich guy fighting crime, and we would never know it because he's super rich.
Actually, taking a turn,
hides in his money.
Turn this to webcomics for 1 second. I've used to love PvP, but the last like 2 years of it have just been a complete disappointment. It's just not entertaining for me anymore.
I never got into webcomics until recently, and then I've heard PvP is not worth reading anymore.
Read the first few years, and there's a great story arc. I'll tell you what it is later, but once it ends, it's just been downhill. But beside the point, he made a one-page comic called My Parents Are Dead about Batman, which he just posted again recently, which is absolutely hilarious. All Batman just like, my parents are dead! He goes and beats people up. And that's like his justification for everything. He's like, but my parents are dead. Maybe I could stop fighting crime, but that's not going to bring my parents back.
Awesome. As far as webcomics,
I'm just trying to imagine Bruce Wayne driving golf balls off the back of a yacht.
Pip, pip. Yeah. What's your favorite comic, Chad?
My favorite comic is Hellboy.
Oh, hang on. We're going to have to edit this out. This is my telephone. I know. Are we actually going to edit a bonus episode?
How unprofessional.
Hang on, I'm just gonna mute the mic.
Who is it? Who's calling you?
Is it Emily?
Oh, he
muted it. No.
Hey, Tex.
Oh, he's smiling. I bet
this is Emily. I want to come watch Robotech with you.
And then Tex is like, hey, baby, I got a whole lot of anime.
Apparently, it's nobody.
Oh, no, we filled in
Batman.
The blanks.
Yeah.
Well, normally I wouldn't answer the phone in the middle of recording, but for understandable reasons, I'm trying to stay in touch with my family.
Sure. Yep. Sure. Yes, you're saying.
My favorite American comic book is Hellboy. I love Mike Mignola. I love his art style. I love his writing. And I am going to do something kind of personal here. I'm putting a call out to all of our listeners. If anyone knows where I could get copies of Mike Mignola's Fawfitt and Gray Mouser series for blood or money, please get on our forums.
Wait,
and tell me.
Did he do, how many series did he do? Because at a Barnes & Noble, like right by where I work, I've seen it. I almost bought the
Fawfitt and Gray Mouser?
The Lankmar one?
They have books, novels.
No, it's a graphic novel by Magnolia.
Is it really? They republished it?
I saw it there. I mean, literally.
You lie. I'll kill you.
A month ago, I'll pop your eyes out, doctor. Look, next Wednesday, when I'm back down there, I'll go to Barnes & Noble. I guarantee you nobody's bought it in the interim. But is there only one of them, or is there multiple series he's put out of it?
I don't know.
Because it is it's Illmet and Lankmar.
Well, I'm pretty sure it's in that big section of the bookstore that where they file things that don't involve giant robots.
Anyway, Hellboy is awesome.
Hellboy kicks some major ass.
Here's my take on Hellboy.
You're reading it now, aren't you?
I was hesitant to get in because the movie wasn't great, which I know is no indicator at all.
Yeah,
the
movie was terrible.
But
I hate it.
I flipped through the book and it just didn't look like there was a lot there. I picked up the first one. Hang on. Picked up the first one. I read it. I'm like, man, they really packed a lot in here. The pace is really quick. There's not a lot of anything. I'm not sure if I can enjoy this. But I talked to you afterwards.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I'll pick up the second one. Fantastic. When they they gave him time to develop stuff, that was just phenomenal.
What I told Luke and how I sold Luke on is that when Hellboy first came out, it wasn't in a big graphic novel. It was half of a comic book inserted into other Dark Horse comic books to try and get it off the ground and advertise it. So Mike Mignola had like 15 pages to develop this story. And he had to pack everything in and have it be real fast-paced. But then it hit, and he was able to take his time with it.
So I'm on three or four now. I think I'm on the collection of stories. I'm on Chain Coffin and others. And then I
Chain Coffin, excellent.
But I was going to tell you
DPRD, great comic series too.
Turns out I had to make sure I was reading stuff in the right voice in my head, because for a while I was reading it and it just wasn't clicking. And then once I found the right voice with it, I found out it was actually much more hilarious than I ever thought it was.
Really?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. And I enjoyed the trailer for Hellboy 2, which I never thought I would, given how bad Hellboy 1 is.
I'm afraid to watch it because I feel that they screwed up so badly with Hellboy 1. And Mike Mignola was like the executive producer, and Guillermo del Toro, who directed it, is personal friends with Mike Mignola. And they Mignola said that he thought del Toro was the only one who could do it, and that sort of thing. And I really feel like they dropped the ball. There were things in the movie that were in the comic. Like if you were a comic fan, you're like, oh, hey, there's that. That's really cool. Oh, hey, there's that. Oh, wow, that's right in the comic book. But none of the story, none of the plot, and the characters were all messed up. And Liz Sherman, the actress who played her, couldn't act.
Yeah, well, Selma Blair, what are you going to do? She's there to look pretty.
Yeah.
We're going to edit this out because I've lost my train of thought completely talking about Hellboy. Oh,
it's a bonus episode.
No editing.
Yes, sir.
You're going to have to, because I just blanked again. I had it
back.
Oh,
my God. Luke Myers. You want this man touching your eyeballs?
Oh, boy. I was going to say, the trailer, I watched it and was impressed. Now I want to see Hellboy 2, and I never thought I'd say that.
I'm afraid to watch it.
Tell you what, the best thing I've ever seen del Toro do is if you watch his, like, the director's intro to Pan's Labyrinth, and he's like, this movie almost killed me. It almost killed me. That's all I have to say. Enjoy. It's like, what was that?
Oh my God, Luke, we've been talking, I've been typing with one hand.
I know, I can't see text anymore. We're finally using a video camera, and now Chad's making
me bad. I'm sorry, I'm just this huge fan. I love Fritz Lieber.
That's what's in there.
Fawfitt and Grey Mouser.
Do you want me to pick it up for you next week?
No, because my wife works at Barnes & Noble. Oh. She can get a 30% discount.
So you don't need blood and money and fans. You could have just looked it up online on Amazon.
Well, that's just it. I have been, and we've been looking for years, and it's nothing.
For years, huh?
Years. Well, they probably just re-released it.
Whoa. I do that all the time too. I make motions that nobody can see. Like last time we were talking about fat people, I was doing my fat people
fat
with the arm.
So you guys got in trouble for making fun of fat people?
Yeah, we got an email about it. A guy quit listening because we went to Ponderosa and we're talking about all the fat people there. I mean, again, Luke's fat, so I can talk about fat people.
Yeah,
and
so is Chad. And Tex, I hear you've been working out, but you're looking pretty good on this webcam thing. But you've been around. You've been portly.
I've only seen skinny Tex. I've heard he's lost a lot of weight, but the only time I saw him, he was looking good.
Yeah.
I'm back on my plan. I'm losing weight again too, slowly but surely.
I have an Xbox now, and I spend more time laying on the couch. Castlevania Symphony. You know, it's funny because I have this really high tech online piece of gaming horsepower sitting on top of my TV, right? And I use it to play a game from 1999.
I played, you know, one of the games I played the most on Live Arcade?
What's that?
Doom. I played the hell out of Doom. I played through the entire thing on different difficulty levels, and I still love Doom. Doom's still a great game. I'm a big, I will say this, don't get Golden Axe. It's not nearly as long as you remember. It literally took me and a buddy on co-op 7 minutes to beat the game. It was like, this was the worst bit of Microsoft points we've ever spent. even worse than now, except for Joust. I played the hell out of Joust, and I still do.
If I played Joust, I remember playing that on the Nintendo, and I had an NES Advantage with
the turbo
variable button. Speed turbo. Let me tell you, it becomes so easy, it's pointless. Because all you do is you hold down the button and you just turn the knob, and that's your like altitude control. It was crazy.
I would say Golden Axe is even a worse download than the Chrome Hounds extra parts, which were terrible. Like, I'm like, why did I download these parts? These aren't any good. There's like one good part in each pack, of course, if I remember right. By the way, we still have spots on the Chrome Hounds team. We have three slots left.
Oh, yeah.
And we have some people who played with us early on who we haven't seen much of. So we're going to contact them and see if they still want it. So we may have more slots, but it's fun. We're having a blast. We have about five people on a night, 4 to 5 at least. Hit and miss, but at least 3 days a week we have five people on. No, notice how I keep backing off there? I keep, we're on all the time. It's constant. sometimes. So you never ask me my favorite comic.
What's your favorite comic?
Ty, I have two favorite comics, I think. One is, as I said, Preacher really opened my eyes. Preacher was just an amazing
read. I've heard it's wonderful. I can't wait to read it.
Great story, and it's just two guys who are from Europe making this great American Western comic book that talks about everything and everything. It's great. And it's also hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
The second would probably be Kingdom Come, which is really, really good.
I didn't like the art in Kingdom Come.
You don't like the paintings?
The thing that bothered me about it is that the guy is immensely talented.
Mm-hmm.
His story was good. It's not the kind of story that I care for because he was really playing it up. Let's ask ourselves a question. What if superheroes were real and there were a lot of them?
Boy, were there ever a lot
yeah,
of them.
It's like all the superheroes that we have in our arsenal would come and be, and they're all there and all the villains are there. And what would it really be like of just this superpower fighting? And his art style, it was very good, but there were just some things that I don't care for that kind of story because I like the real interpersonal,
sure,
you know, delving into a character kind of stuff. And Kingdom Come was fine. It just wasn't my cup of tea. And I didn't like the thing that I didn't like about his art was that he uses the same, he only has like four face models he uses.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had one panel where there was the same guy in one panel and it was three or four different guys.
I didn't recognize that at all.
That was kind of like,
I think it's a pinnacle. I love superhero comics.
Good.
I think
really
it's
good.
A pinnacle of superhero comics. Like, cause it tells a tale. It's got a moral, yep. It's got something to say. And it's also a lot of people fighting.
And you know what it did too? I think that it helped legitimize comic books in America.
I agree.
Because you had a guy who is an artist, not an illustrator, not a colorist, not a some sort of technical artist.
Tracer.
Tracer.
I'm a tracer.
It's like, so you just trace?
I bring out the color and life in the panel.
But I love Chasing Amy. So I really think that he brought a certain amount of legitimacy to it because he is a real artist and such, but it wasn't my cup of tea. It was good,
gotcha.
But it wasn't my cup
of tea. Kind of like Watchmen, huh? I know we can't talk about it.
We agreed that we weren't going to throw down on Watchmen.
Well, but, I don't
you know,
think...
there's some things I do like about Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
Like the character of Rorschach. Wonderful, wonderful character. Anti-hero, deep, interesting guy. He's based on an old 60s comic book character called the Question.
Which, they had to change the name of all the characters because they're actually most of them were
DC real,
comics.
Yeah.
Like, Night Owl's the Blue Beetle, who's still around and still active. And then Rorschach was the Question, who was important.
And he's still around, too.
One of them just died in 52, and there's new one now, but same thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One other comic book I'm following, because I'm a huge Buffy Angelverse fan, is Buffy Season 8, which I thought they've done stellar with so far.
So they stop the show and they're doing it in comic books?
Yeah,
That's
exactly what... Buffy ended on season 7 back in like, 2000-ish.
Yeah.
I own all those DVDs, love them, watched them millions of times. And they started Buffy season 8 last year.
Hmm.
And they're basically doing every like 7 or 8 issues ends an episode and they're just going to go through the whole season like that.
Yeah.
And it's awesome because they don't have a budget anymore. They can do the stuff they've always wanted to do. And it's there's some kind of outlandish stuff, but that's always been Buffy. It's campy and it's fun. I haven't checked out the new Angel stuff yet.
You know what I didn't like in that vein is the Serenity comic.
Oh, I love Serenity and I picked it up and looked through it. And I'm like, this is boring.
Yeah,
I'm not going to read this.
And you know what? It backtreads over ground that was already covered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it tells a new story, but it's just like, you know, these characters have progressed beyond the point to where they're talking about them in the comic book, and I have progressed beyond that point.
You know, so. I don't mind there's a space here where we're not sure what happens, why Book isn't on the ship anymore, and why Inara is really gone. You know, we can infer enough, and it didn't need to be told, and especially told poorly, is what it comes down
to.
Yeah,
I agree.
That's unfortunately what happens with a lot of those adaptations, is they end up just... crappy, you know. It's
that's the problem, is that comic book as a medium is not taken seriously in America. I mean, we are the inventor more or less of the comic book. I'm sure somebody's going to be throwing Wikipedia pages at me when they hear
this.
No,
the Sumerians invented comics.
The Egyptian pictographs and you know the ancient Sanskrit comic.
They were weekly back then.
yes, but
one dinar.
I'm not paying a dinar.
It's up to a dinar now? There's no extra pages.
There's 5 tablets. It cost me 5 dinar just to get my donkey down here. But what was I talking about? Bonus episode.
See, the funny thing, it's like wow, all this crap that usually gets edited out never is in this. Yeah. I try to talk less in bonus episodes because I get off from my train of thought so quickly that...
Well, one of my things that I always said back when I was a regular on the show, uh-huh. and I edited it, is editing makes you sound... I can add 20 IQ points to you by editing.
Right.
Because I edit out, hey, I lost my train of thought. You know, what the hell's going on here? Yeah. You cut all that stuff out.
We will never give you guys a raw to listen to just because it's
embarrassing.
It's horrid.
So the closest you guys get to a raw is a bonus episode.
Yeah,
so.
which even these, well, no, they aren't edited. Let's keep up the mystique. These aren't edited at all.
Well, somebody has dropped the F-bomb occasionally. Or occasionally
somebody sounds really stupid and it's like, can you just edit me out there?
Yeah.
That happens on occasion.
Mm-hmm.
We should break the news here this late in for those few listeners who've stuck out the past the hour mark with us that Chad is not, unfortunately, coming back full time. He's just filling a slot here, came back, and we'd love to have him. We wish we could be more, but he's a busy man. Yeah. He's got a beard and hair to take care of.
I know. Oh my God. All this combing and washing.
So we're hoping he'll at least pop in now and again, but we don't have any promises. We do have some other... A new host and possibly some more guests coming up.
Do you want to announce who the new host is?
No, we don't want to yet.
Let's because you can't keep a secret for anything.
Oh, I know. Well, there's certain secrets I can keep, but there are some that I like to drop hints
about. The secret
of
your heart.
Exactly.
Charlie!
No, it's already actually,
kidney.
It's already been announced on the forums, and hasn't been announced. It's just been,
not officially. It's been
hinted.
Yeah,
well, that's what they did with me. Is that they changed my name? They made me yellow, and it took like a week.
And they changed your title to host.
Yeah, and then it took a week, and somebody's like, "Wait, it says you're a host." And I'm like, "I can't talk about it yet." Blah blah blah. But people are a lot more perceptive. I found the forums lately because I think there are a lot more people because they picked out the new guy pretty quick.
Yeah,
but should be fun. It's going to be a good time.
Luke, do you have any stories about becoming a host? And, you know, has it increased your fame? You always talk about how you're an attention whore.
I really am.
Do you get the attention that you need from this podcast?
Completely. It's neat to actually have people who like email me for advice and like know me. I'm like, hey, you're kind of cool. I'm like, I don't
know. One person that ever emailed me for advice.
I've got
somebody was trying to pick out a cigar, and I recommend cigars for.
See, I tell you what I get the most. I mentioned I get at least two or three emails a week about people thanking me for turning them on to Savage Worlds, which is fantastic to hear. Because I mean, like I've said many times, it may be my favorite system. It's not the best system for everybody by any means, but I'm glad people who didn't know about it do now, because I mean it's been constant, especially after Gen Con. The number of people who picked it up and said thank you, I'm like, hey, my pleasure.
Hey, $10 for a Rules Light.
Yeah, you own
system.
Savage Worlds now.
Yes,
so.
Thank you very much. It was my ultra late Christmas present.
That's right, ultra late Christmas present. Right as we started Deadlands campaign, no less.
Mm-hmm.
So being a host scratches my attention itch, which never. I mean, this was always just fun. I mean, it's just fun to come in here, record, and hang out. That's why we keep doing it. But
how did you find out about the podcast? Because you were a listener first, and then you jumped on the forums, and then we liked you on the forums. Then we met you at
Wing Night, and then I started playing War Machine with you.
Yeah, you started playing War Machine,
and then from that I got enough attention, and I was local that I got. Well, let me back up here. I found out from Fear the Boot. I was listening to DLI and listened to some of the other early podcasts, and in their show notes they put a link up. Hey, if you're these Fear the Boot guys, they're in St. Louis. I'm like, hey, I'm in St. Louis. Let's check them out. And I started listening. I'm like, wow, this is different than anything else out there. I like this. So I was a fan for a very long period of time and was happy just like everybody else is when I heard my name on the episode. I'm like, hey, they mentioned me. They remember me. Woo! I'm on the internet. I'm famous, Mom. Soon after you left, they did the Phil episodes, and then I got an email from Dan. Like I said, we were playing War Machine. I'd met these guys a few places. Dan said that they wanted me to come on for an episode to talk about player-driven games. I'm like, all right, cool. And then came on, had a blast doing it, talked a mile a minute more than usual because I'm only on one episode. I got to say everything I ever wanted to say about gaming. I love gaming. Gaming and role-playing is awesome. I love dice.
Savage Worlds!
but then... As soon as I get up the next morning, I got an email waiting for me. They want to invite me on to be a full-time host. I'm like, done and done.
Did you think that they were going to invite you full-time? Did you know it was like kind of a test?
I did not know it was a test, but I had, when I got done with the episode, I thought I was, it felt good enough to me that I was like, you know what? I bet they might have me on again sometime. I did not think they'd bring me on as a host because I didn't know what nobody let me know what they were doing after you left. So,
right.
So, oh, hell. Now we've gone from this. We can't even write show notes about this. This is like for the few listeners who have the long car rides. Because everybody else quit at like four. Like when Tex left, like, yeah, we should leave too. Although people have talked about us getting together on the mics. Well, Luke and Chad would be awesome on the mics.
Now look at this. We rule the mics.
Yeah, you will listen to what we say. It's the Luke and Chad hour. We're going to keep going. I mean, there's no maximum file size.
Yeah, there isn't.
No, actually, we better quit.
No.
You don't think so? What else you got to talk about? Bring me another topic if you think you can keep going on.
Now you're putting me under pressure.
Table's turned.
So.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, it's been a good time. But if you've made it this long, you know, get up, stretch your legs. It was thanks for listening to us, as always. And tune into our regular episodes for something that is much, much more structured. It might actually have something that's fun to listen to in it. But
the next episode will probably have substantially less me.
Yes, unfortunately.
But it will have substantially more of a really cool person.
Yeah, it's another new era of Fear the Boot. Things are going to change again, and hopefully we keep mixing up, and it's for the better. We do it all for you guys, because this is, like I said, we don't really get anything out of this, but I get my attention horse scratched, and I get to have a lot of fun talking about games with some good people. So I guess I'll see you guys in the forums, and see you guys next week.
See ya.